This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. Our guest this morning is Patrick Mazza, Research Director for Climate Solutions, a nonprofit whose mission is to accelerate practical and profitable solutions to global warming. Patrick is co-author with Guy Donsey of Stormy Weather, 101 Solutions to Global Climate Change, and has written numerous papers on emerging clean energy systems, including Powering Up the Smart Grid and The New Harvest, Biofuels and Wind Power for Rural Revitalization. Patrick Mazza is here today to tell us about the New Energy Nexus, which involves the convergence of smart power grids, green intelligent buildings, and plug-in electric vehicles. Welcome, Patrick. Nice to have you back.
Yeah, it's nice to be back.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about climate solutions?
Sure. We're actually probably one of the original, what I like to call bottom-up climate groups in the United States. We've been working on forwarding climate-friendly policies at the state and local level since the late 90s. You know, and right now what we're very much moving into is, once we get the policies in place, what does it begin to look like on the ground? So the policies are only tools to transform our cities, our economies, our transportation systems, our buildings. And so that's what this project is about, this what we're actually calling New Energy Solutions now.
What is the overall concept of the New Energy Solutions?
Well, a couple of key ideas. The first is that there's really accelerating trends in three areas you mentioned: smart grids, green intelligent buildings, plug-in vehicles, that are really, really moving toward a whole different shape of the energy system over the next few years. A second idea is that these are growing, though, in kind of a siloed manner. So there's connections that need to be made between these three large sectors. And the third idea is that the natural place to do that is cities. So there's a concept tied to this of pioneer cities, cities that really make themselves leaders in advancing the new energy economy by really promoting the coordinated deployment of smart power grids, green intelligent buildings, and plug-in vehicles, all, of course, powered as much as possible by renewable energy.
Why do you think the conditions are favorable for new energy solutions at this time?
Well, let's look at the different pieces. I'll start with the biggest piece on the horizon. The biggest piece that's here right now is the fact of the Obama stimulus plan. The green energy stimulus puts about $77 billion on the table for various pieces of green energy, for plug-ins, for green buildings, for energy efficiency, for renewables, for smart grids. So we really have a whole buzz in the air right now where there really is some serious money on the table to do some foundational investments. In the background is the whole trend that's been taking place over, I would say, the last 10 years. You know, you look at the different categories in the building sector. Green has become an economical proposition as well as an environmental proposition. And buildings are also increasingly getting smart as well. So all the systems throughout the buildings are being tied together by smart systems that actually make buildings way more efficient. And so this has been an accelerating trend of the last 10 years. You look at smart grids, the application of basically digital computing technology to the power grid to make it really a two-way power network, where you can plug in all kinds of new energy devices, including plug-in vehicles, solar panels. And what you've seen over the last 10 years, accelerating in the last five, is a move from more theoretical to actual on-the-ground applications. So places, cities are beginning to convert wholesale to smart grid technologies, such as Boulder, Colorado, or Austin, Texas, or Miami, Florida, recently announced. Then the other area, plug-in vehicles. You know, we've been going through in the last 10 years, what are we going to do after gasoline? What are we going to do after petroleum? Hydrogen fuel cells, well, that didn't really work out that well, too expensive. Biofuels, good for a piece of it, but the land is limited, as we know. So what really a lot is pointing to is electricity. A return to one of the original vehicle options 100 years ago is now, because of improvements in battery technology, becoming feasible. So in the next several years, at least a dozen manufacturers are going to be putting out either pure battery electric vehicles or plug-in hybrid vehicles that are basically like your Prius, only they have a plug-in feature as well. So you see all those trends in those three big systems. And when I've talked about those systems, you know, that's where most of the greenhouse gases in society get made. Buildings, vehicles, electrical power. You know, those are three systems. And then you look at the three big resources coming up. Renewables, well, I mean, that's become a well-known story. Wind power is now nearly the cheapest form of energy. Solar power is still expensive, but you look at trends in solar, and solar looks to be reaching grid parity in large parts of the U.S. and the world in the next decade, in the decade of the 2010s. So by 2020, solar power could well be the cheapest power source. Then also just efficiency as a general resource. All three of those systems we're talking about, the grid, buildings, vehicles, are going to become way more efficient because of new technology, because of smarter systems. So efficiency becomes a second large resource. And the whole general capacity to manage demand, that's a thing that we, you know, we don't realize that much about. We don't think much. You turn on the power switch and the power comes, the supply chases demand. Well, what if your own systems were smart enough to realize, hey, I'm demanding power at a peak power time of day, or the system is sending me signals that, oh, the power right now is greener, so I want to use it now. I want to wash my clothes now when it's greener rather than later on when the wind is not up. And then another major piece, energy resource coming through all this is energy storage. You know, the batteries in vehicles, there's also going to be batteries throughout the grid. And in fact, a very interesting piece is that once we get a large plug-in fleet going, there's going to be an aftermarket for the batteries. They're going to come a time when they're no longer strong enough to run the vehicles, but they'll make perfectly good energy storage resources, say, at your home. So a good companion for your solar panels. So just to circle around, three big systems, the grid, buildings, vehicles, powered by basically three new energy resources, renewables, efficiency / demand management, and storage. So that's the new energy system that's coming together, and it's coming together because of accelerating trends in technology, plus the drive for low carbon energy, because now we realize we're in deep doo-doo with the climate, the drive for petroleum replacement, because, you know, you look right now, just looks like we're maybe coming out a little bit of a global recession. We're already over $70 a barrel of oil. You get a little more, little heat in the global economy, 90 or 100. So anyway, that's why new energy solutions, new energy systems are coming, and quickly.
I'm Diane Horn, and we are speaking with Patrick Mazza, Research Director for Climate Solutions. Our topic is the New Energy Solutions Project, which involves the convergence of smart power grids, green intelligent buildings, and plug-in electric vehicles. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you now like to talk about the New Energy Solutions Project and its goals?
Yeah, what we're doing at Climate Solutions is, first, we're bringing out this concept. I mean, it's just the idea that we are seeing a new energy system emerging. So partly it's just what I'm doing right now, helping to educate people about what's really going on and the great promise of it. Then we're moving to really, really motivate deployment on the ground. And that's through our Pioneer Cities effort, which really is going out, staging seminars, sessions for civic leaders. We're really literally going out to cities and towns and gathering together the civic leadership, including people in the city government, business leaders, and educating them, showing them, number one, how all these trends are happening, and number two, the very important role cities and local governments play in helping make all of this come together. So the whole idea, you know, these systems are eventually going to spread across the landscape, but they're going to start in places where there's population density, where there's a marketplace. And so that is cities, and where there's a need as well. So cities can play incredibly powerful roles by any number of ways. You know, one is just improving building codes. We're moving that direction in Seattle to really mandate the more efficient building, both for retrofits of older buildings and new buildings. Cities are going to be playing really vital roles as we come up with the plug-in system, because every one of those plug-in stations is going to have to be somehow permitted. And if we make it a whole clumsy bureaucratic process, it's going to kill it. And then cities and utilities working together on power grid stuff. I mean, that's pretty important too. So what we want to do is, it's not just city leadership, though. What we're really trying to do is assemble leadership in local areas that include the city leadership, utility leadership, business leadership, to come up with a coordinated plan to bring all these things together on the ground at the same time. And of course, right now, this is being supercharged by the stimulus. We're way far ahead of where we thought we'd be, because instead of this just being a theoretical idea, there's a real chance to secure basically investment capital through public investment capital. So that's what we're doing. One of the specific areas which is really exciting, which we've been helping along and feed our ideas into, is a coalition of Puget Sound area governments and utilities called Puget Sound New Energy Solutions, which includes the county governments, the city governments, and the utilities coming together to work on ways to coordinate stimulus dollar asks and to really create a whole systems idea that, even though when you look at the federal budget, there's different pots of money for energy efficiency in buildings, for plug-ins, for renewables, for smart grid, that if regions, local regions and cities and metropolitan areas get smart about how we ask for the money and how we invest it, we can really start to create in a systematic way this new system. If you think about it physically, I mean, think about going down to your park and ride. And at your park and ride, there's now an electrified transportation section. So you can leave your car and charge it up during the day. And also, that park and ride might also have solar panels, which solar in the Northwest is not competitive with electrical power, though other places it will be sooner. Not so much in the Northwest, but compared to gasoline, actually, solar electricity looks competitive. So imagine that park and ride has some solar panels as well. And imagine there's a whole smart grid system attached into the park and ride. Maybe those solar panels, maybe there's times of day when there's not enough cars, so that energy is feeding out into the community. And those buildings are all really efficient. You know, and also imagine at some times of the day, maybe there's really high power demands. Maybe there's a lot of vehicles there, and there's stress on the local grid. Well, the local grid is sending signals out to all the buildings in the area saying, hey, I need some juice. Your dishwasher gets a single at home. Can you hold off on washing those dishes until later? So this whole system works together. Pieces talk to each other, and it optimizes. So that is where we can get to, and that's the investments we can make to get to this place. Charging stations, solar panels, smart meters, smart substations, fiber optic communication within the power grid, not to mention just the initial investments in plug-in vehicles, public fleet purchases. So there's all kinds of stuff. There's all kinds of stuff cities can do in coordination with utilities and of course, marketing this all to constituents, to people. That's going to be really crucial. I mean, you know, we need to engage the general public. There's going to be whole new models of energy efficiency service delivery where we really are going to go through and not just do a catch-as-catch-can, but we're going to go through neighborhoods and systematically solicit people to retrofit their buildings. We're going to market plug-in vehicles. We're going to market a lot more solar to people. So this is the system we see.
Have most of your efforts been focused on the Pacific Northwest?
Oh, sure. At this point, yeah, we're still a Pacific Northwest-focused group. However, I mean, the idea work we're doing is of really broad scope. The practical on-the-ground work is Northwest.
And how receptive have governments here been to your ideas?
So far, pretty receptive. So far, pretty receptive. I mean, the idea of building a whole energy system instead of just the pieces has been broadly adopted by Puget Sound New Energy Solutions. There's a number of cities that are looking at bringing us in to talk about how they can implement these ideas. So it's been pretty receptive so far.
Let's focus in a little bit more on the smart grid, which is an important part of your whole system here. Could you just remind us of exactly what a smart grid is and how it works and where the technology currently stands?
Well, contrast it with today's grid. I mean, today's grid is basically a centrally controlled system of about 5,000 big power plants that pump out power to, this is U.S. power system, that basically pump out power one way to wherever it's needed. The power chases the demand. If there's somebody turns on a light switch anywhere, the power better be there. And it has to be made coordinated in exact synchronicity, or else you get blackouts or brownouts. So that's the power grid of today. The power grid of tomorrow, the smart grid, has control distributed throughout the system. So instead of grid operators having to control the whole thing, there are smart systems that are self-controlling throughout. So, you know, and a for example of that is today when there's a power outage or a line goes down, typically the whole power in the area goes down and the grid operator has to send out a truck to figure out where did it go down and how long will it take me to fix it. A smart system will be more like an internet router where it will say, oh, you know, we've automatically detected a fault, and so we're going to reroute power. And there might still be a blackout, but it'll be a lot less. So lots more automatic systems, lots more an automated, self-managed power system. You'll still have the control rooms. You'll still have the big power plants, but there's more going to be out in the grid. And the other piece of it is that it's going to be a lot more distributed in terms of all those energy resources I talked about. So instead of 5,000 large plants, a number of large plants, but millions, literally millions of small power plants that are hooked in, exchanging power with the grid. So you're building solar. During the day, that building solar is probably going to be, at least on a northwest day. What we don't realize in the northwest here is our long, sunny, cool summer days are just about the ideal solar power production. It's just our winter that's a problem. So your system is going to be able to take all that surplus generation from the solar and shift it around. And the system is going to be able to talk to plug-in vehicles and say, hey, you know, now's the time. There's going to be smarts in the vehicles, so they might be plugged in, but they won't necessarily be charging the whole time they're plugging in. There's going to be communication between the smart grid and the smart car to say, hey, you know, we just got a wind ramp up out in the Columbia Gorge. This would be an ideal time for you to charge up, car. Car goes, yeah, I like that. My owner likes green power. He's told me that. That's basically what you're going to see. And so the smart grid is, just to summarize, it's about distributed control throughout the system, distributed intelligence, and distributed resources. And it moves from being a one-way power out from the big plant to the small, multiple direction, power coming from every direction, and also demand adjusting in every direction. So as we were talking about, if there's a hot day when things are all stressed out in the grid is going to be sending out signals to everything saying, I'm stressed right now. Can you help me? And smart systems all over the place are going to come in and say, yeah, I can turn this off. I can cycle this down. So smart grid is smart.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Patrick Mazza, Research Director for Climate Solutions. Our topic is the New Energy Solutions Project, which involves the convergence of smart power grids, green intelligent buildings, and plug-in electric vehicles. Would you talk about some of the specific models or pilot projects to improve power grids that are going on in various parts of the country?
Sure. A prominent one, Boulder Smart Grid City. Xcel Energy has gone through and installed smart meters throughout the city, which provide two-way communications capabilities. You know, right now, the meter, the old meter, it's a one-time read, and so there's really very little information coming back to the utility, except they know there's a certain amount of power being demanded. So smart meter, substations that have a lot more control capability. A lot of substations right now, it's, those are those big things you see with all the power equipment in them. You know, right now, a lot of them just are kind of set to operate within a certain boundary. I mean, they're not smart. They have a certain limited set of operations they can do. And if things go out of whack, well, they shut down and you get a power failure. So Boulder's gone through and done that. Austin Energy is a real leader. Austin is working on smart meters as well. They're working on a local technology grid with local technology firms on a microgrid in the city, which is like a small smart grid where they'll be installing solar throughout the grid, and you know, and it will be a two-way kind of system. That's called the Pecan Street Project. Southern California Edison is doing a lot of interesting stuff. They're creating a distributed solar utility. They're basically going out and signing leases of power users with big roofs, like big boxes and stuff, to put solar panels on the roof. The utility owns the solar panels. It's the utility's power, and it will be fed into the grid, but it's the power plant is within the grid, and it's distributed. And of course, that will be managed by very smart systems that can, you know, that can say, when is the power coming in, and where can I stream it to, and thus and such. So, I mean, there's other places. I would say there's interesting stuff going on in the Bay Area. They've got a requirement for totally solar new communities, and so that's going to require some interesting smart grid solutions. So those are some of the really prominent ones out there. Seattle City Light is looking at some smart grid stuff. Tacoma Power actually is interesting. They actually already have fiber optic throughout the system. So they're set up down in Tacoma to really, really move quickly in the smart grid and are planning a major stimulus ask for smart grid installations. So those are some of the most prominent. Other parts of the world are farther along, though. I mean, you know, Denmark, Singapore, Japan are farther along. I mean, Denmark might be the model. You know, they now have a thoroughly distributed power grid where you look at the old map of the Danish power grid, you know, you see a few dots, the big power plants. The new map has dots all over the place. They've got wind turbines. They've got combined heat and power plants powered by hay. And so they're running this whole thing on a very smart, basically a computer model that doesn't even measure the power output of all the different generators. It just does a predictive algorithm to basically say what's going on in the present. It's a very smart computer model. They've got the whole grid modeled. I hope I'm explaining this in a way that comes across to people who aren't power geeks, you know, power grid geeks. But I think it's just amazing the fact you can build a model within a computer of what's going on outside in the real world and run the system according to that model and have it work. I mean, it's just amazing. So that's this very smart grid.
So just very briefly, what do you see as the barriers preventing coordination of the power grid, green buildings, and plug-in electric vehicles?
The nature of the sectors, you know, the fact, you know, you look at vehicles, think about vehicles and utilities. Think auto companies and power utilities. They haven't had a lot to do with each other than the auto companies being big power users. Now the auto companies are having to come in and sit down with the utilities and talk about protocols and standards and how all this is going to work together. So there's two big sectors that are now getting married that have been grown very separately for a century. You look at the building sector itself. I mean, the building sector is heavily segmented within all kinds of different groups. And there you get into all the classic problems with delivering energy efficiency, where the owner of the building, you know, if you have an owner and a renter, if the owner of the building puts in a lot of money for energy efficiency and reduces the renter's power bills, well, the owner isn't exactly benefiting unless he raises the rent or compensates some other way. So we need to create new systems among all the different silos in the building sector. And I would say, you know, there's just generally going to need to be just some regulatory clarity on different pieces of it. I mean, here's a good example. There's the idea of using batteries in plug-in vehicles, not just to run the cars, but to feed back energy into the grid at times when the cars are plugged in and have surplus. It's a great idea, but then the auto companies come in and say, warranty problems. What if all that extra use reduces the battery life? So you have all these different really nuanced complexities when you get down to these really large, complex sectors and industries that really need to be worked out. There need to be tables created. And those are happening, but you know, we're trying to make it more systematic.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
That there really is a new energy system emerging, and that they should be asking their local leaders to become active participants, to make their cities and communities into pioneers for deploying really advanced, efficient buildings, advanced power grids, and plug-in vehicles, all powered by renewable energy. Talk to your leaders, say, this is what I want. Show some excitement and some support. That's probably the most important thing people can do.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Patrick.
You're welcome, Diane.
We have just been speaking with Patrick Mazza, Research Director for Climate Solutions. For more information, check on the web at www.newenergynexus.org. Again, that's www.newenergynexus.org. The Sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, selected sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on podcasting, and scroll down to Mind Over Matters sustainability segment. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.